And I invite you to turn to a different text than the one in the bulletin. Actually, John chapter 14 is where we're going to go. Here's a little story behind that. If you've been with us, you know I'm doing a series working through various topics as regards the Holy Spirit. And the reason for the focus on the Holy Spirit is because, well, the Father is where? He's seated on his throne in heaven. That's not here. Jesus, the Son, is where? Seated with the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's not here. Jesus promised before he left that he would send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here. And so we're studying the Holy Spirit because it would seem to me if of the three persons of the Godhead, he's the one that's actually in the room. In fact, he's actually the one that's in there like with your beating heart right now. It would make a lot of sense to know him. And to know that, as we've studied before, that he is able to come with surprising and sudden power. He can change everything in a moment. He can heal our sister Bev. He may have already done that in the moment since we've been praying. He can take an upside-down world and set it right side up. Boom, in a flash. He can change everything. Do you know him? He can also come into our hearts and lives and fill us and flood us with himself. In fact, we are commanded to live in that reality. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Now, I was looking forward to talking to you from Acts chapter 20, chapter 2, in the verses referenced here in your bulletin. What is it? Verses 5 to 21. I was thinking I was going to bring a sermon about that this week. And I studied the text, and then I mean, I got all distracted on Thursday. I got all distracted, actually, for two reasons. The surf was good. That's the good news. The bad news were the stupid hearings. That stupid hearing. And I do use that word in a derogatory fashion. The Babylon Bee had some fun with it after it was over. I'm talking about the Supreme... By the way, if you haven't been around, okay, the Supreme Court hearing on Thursday, right, where some accusations were brought against the nominee and the nominee defended himself. Nominee, of course, Judge Kavanaugh. And the Babylon Bee, my favorite satire site, had some fun with it. At the end of the day, they said that the headline was... Hearing complete success. Not one single person has changed their opinion as a result of Sunday's hearing, except me. I changed my opinion. I got like so agitated. And Friday morning, I got to work on this sermon, and I just have an outline. I can't think clearly, and I'm so agitated about the he said, she said, and I don't know what the truth is. And I actually came in here early on Thursday morning, Friday morning, I'm sorry, and I came and I sat right down here in front of the cross, and I'm like begging the Lord, like, get this nonsense out of my head, because I got to preach on Sunday. Guess what the Holy Spirit did? He said, why did you preach about what you're struggling with? Which is, I want to know what the truth is. Do you want to know what the truth is? Of course we do, right? And all the rest of it, I got to know what the truth is. I said, you're doing a series on the Holy Spirit, Mike. Why don't you turn to chapter 14 of John's Gospel, Mike? That's where we're going to be this morning. Would you stand? And I just want to read this text that the Lord led me to, and it will become obvious why he did. By the way, what's going on in John 14? Jesus is in the upper room celebrating the Passover, the Last Supper. And right after this, he's going to go out. He's going to go out in the garden. He's going to be betrayed, and then he's going to be tried. And then he's going to be executed on a cross and die for our sins, be buried, and rise again. So this is like his last teaching round here. And he's teaching about what it's going to be like after he leaves. And in verse 16 of John 14, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit, I speak to you directly now, knowing that you're in this room, you're in our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you open this up for us now? You're the one who leads us into all truth. Take us there, Lord. We want to know the truth. Satisfy our hunger for truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so obviously you heard it, right? Pastor Mike's going, I'm struggling. I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit, and I can't, and I'm all concerned about this hearing thing. And he said, she said, and I got to know what the truth is. Lord, what do I do? And he said, how about you talk to them about how the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, right? The Holy Spirit is indeed the Spirit of Truth. And God, and he gives us the keys to unlock the truth, to actually be able to have a handle on the truth. And I want to look with you at that in the next few minutes. But first, I want to just kind of highlight something, that this idea of somebody trying to judge the truth based on a trial that's going on, of accusations and so forth, this is not like a brand new thing. In fact, this is actually not new to Jesus. See, because when Jesus, after he gives his teaching, he goes out and ends up falsely accused and on trial. He ends up before the Roman governor, a guy named Pontius Pilate. And Pilate invites him into his headquarters, into his praetorium. And he's interviewing Jesus because he can't really figure out what the deal is here. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world. I'm in John 18 right now. He says, my kingdom is not from this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, probably going like this, what is truth? That's a pretty important question, isn't it? What is truth? I want to know the truth. Sounds like you want to know the truth. What is truth? Well, the dictionary will tell you that truth is that which corresponds to fact and reality. I would offer to you that a lot of contemporary people are confused about this idea of what truth is. They kind of think that truth is something you experience, that you know, like you know, my truth and Brad's truth can be different truth. At the end of the day, on Thursday, our own Senator Dick Blumenthal made this statement that he made a favorable statement about Dr. Ford. She is the accuser of Judge Kavanaugh. He made a favorable statement and said that I'm like so pleased that she had the courage and the ability to come forward and tell her truth. Anybody see that? Her truth. Her truth. I'm interested in the truth. Not her truth, not Kavanaugh's truth, not my truth, not your truth, but the truth, right? See, there is such a thing as absolute truth. This idea that truth is something that you experience and you assess yourself on what you've discovered and what you feel is actually nonsense from the pit of hell. The reality is that there is, in fact, a reality, and there really are facts. I mean, there's some of this is just kind of like self-evident, right? I mean, like right now I'd say, okay, here we are in Eastford this morning. It's Sunday, right? Everybody agree with that? Yeah, and then the shifty ones among you, whoa, wait a minute. This was like a Mayan calendar, blah, blah, blah. This is some other kind of day. I mean, that's their truth. Our truth is it's Sunday. So, well, but today is today, right? So, well, maybe, I mean, yesterday it was tomorrow, and tomorrow will be yesterday. Right? We can get like all like shifty drifty on this stuff, right? But the fact of the matter is, this is the day the Lord has made, right? This is the day that he has appointed. He knows what day it is. I know what day it is. It's his day, right? I mean, these are facts we can agree on. But how do you unlock the truth? How do you get to that reality? Well, I want to offer to you that there's some keys that God has given us. And the first of these is you got to make sure you're going to the right source. Earlier, somebody was asking in the Sunday school, so how cold was it at your house? And the coldest temperature I noticed this morning when I was driving in, it was a little bit before 7, is down in the low patch here, down at the bottom of the hill, it was 38 on my car thermometer. I think I'm like, awesome, only 6 more degrees and no more lawn mowing. Amen, right? But, you know, some of us, you know, we relish the fall and thinking, you know, it's crisp weather. I'd like to get like a new flannel shirt. That's what I'd really go for. Okay, so honey, I got to get a new flannel shirt. I'm going to go over to Petco and buy a shirt. No, you don't go to Petco to buy shirts, right? If you're a guy like me, you go to like Tractor Supply, right, to get a flannel shirt. I mean, everybody knows that, right? You go to where the shirts are if you want a shirt. If you want to know where the truth is, you have to go where the truth is. If you want to know the truth, you have to go to where it is. And guess where it's not? It's not in the world. The only source of perfect truth is the Lord your God. You know, you encounter the village atheist. You know, that guy that when you're talking about God says, you know, he asks you those questions like, well, is your God like really, really big? Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's really, really big. Can he do anything? Oh, yeah, he can do anything. Well, how about this? Can he make a rock so big he can't lift it? And I think, wait a minute. My God is so big, he's outside of reality, so everything he makes is smaller than he is. Aha! So there's something he can't do. So, well, no, my God can do anything. Except that's actually not a true statement. I'm going to quote the Word of God here. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. You know what it says? It says, it is impossible for God to lie. Did you know that? It's impossible for God to lie. Because he is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but this truth. So help me whom? The one who's impossible to lie, right? God can't lie because he is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. And Jesus tells us here, I'll ask the Father, he will give you another helper. Jesus is leaving. Jesus, who is the truth, was with his disciples. He says, I'm going. I will give you another helper, counselor, confidant, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You don't want to know where to find the truth? Go to the source of truth. It's the Lord God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God. That's where the truth is. It's not in the world. You know why it's not in the world? Because the world, when John uses that word world, he uses it here, right? He says, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When John talks about the world, what he's talking about is the systems that humans put in place, the universe of humanity that is struggling to live on the basis that there isn't a God, or he doesn't matter, or he's somebody other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's in contrast with the kingdom, which is where God rules and reigns. When those two things exist together on earth, the kingdom of heaven on earth, the body of Christ, the believers that are citizens of that kingdom, that will be us, and then there's the rest. And they're coming, they're doing their best, right? But they're doing their best on the basis that they are actually captives to the one who is the ruler of the world. And it's not God. The ruler of the world is the devil, Satan. When Jesus speaks of him in that role, in John 8, in verse 44, he says, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So here's the contrast. A God for whom it is impossible to lie because he is all truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and the ruler of the world who can't do anything but lie. And so the world is all filled with deceit. I'm going to offer to you that in that room full of people and all those people, the senators and the witnesses and all those people that talked on Thursday that made you so crazy, I'm going to guess that everybody in that room has told at least one lie in their life, and that probably most of those people told one or more lies during the course of those proceedings. Because we're all infected with it. Sometimes we lie when we don't even know we're lying. There are people that can be sworn in and give sworn testimony and pass a polygraph that are speaking what they believe to be true, which is actually false. You can find like whole great big bunches of them like gathered in different places of worship where they're worshiping a God other than the one true living God. They're worshiping a falsehood. And if you ask them if they believe it, they say, amen, this is like the real deal. I believe it, but it's just not true. They could be kind-hearted, nice people. Did you know that even Christians lie? No? You don't know that? Of course you do, right? I mean, every husband is, you know, he's dealt with something like, you know, honey, does this dress make me look fat? White lie, here we go. What dress? You can respond with a question, okay? It's a way out of it, to sidestep the whole thing. But right, the whole world is infected, and you know what? Our own flesh. There's a fascinating article in a publication called the City Journal that I read yesterday. By the way, I couldn't get my mind off this stuff even as I was preparing the sermon. I read this by a woman named Kay Himelwitz, H-Y-M, Himelwitz, and the title of it was "The Trail of Our Tears." And basically what she talked about is, she actually cited a book about the nature of especially the younger generations being told three lies. And the second of the three lies is to go with your feelings. Trust your feelings. And what she basically pointed out was that most people, in fact, if you just read like what people are writing, that everybody that watched those hearings and participated in those hearings have made their decision and their judgment based on how they felt, not upon the objective truth. It's just a monument to the fact that your flesh is infected with deceit. You know, who needs the truth when I know how I feel? The only place to find truth is the one true living God. It's not the world that's owned by Satan. It's not you. It's not me. Now, by the way, one of the places I look at, like, to get all like riled up about politics is a website called Real Clear Politics. Anybody familiar with that? It's an interesting site. It's like a clipping service. And one thing about it is, you know, it doesn't matter whether the publication, the author is, let's say, this is your left, right? Is that correct? That's white, but well, never mind. So whether your author that you're reading is from the left or from the right in the publication, they clip all the stuff, you know, so you can read headlines, you know, we love this, we hate this. We love this, we hate this. And you can read them all and you can see, by the way, if you read it, you'll get disturbed about how divided the country is. But one of the things they started to do that I find amusing is, you know, when you read something and then it says, well, we fact-checked this, right? Like you read an article, say, well, we fact-checked this, and this is how it came out. Real Clear Politics actually has like some research outfit that is rating the fact-checkers. And let me tell you something that's pretty interesting. I didn't look yesterday or today, but on Friday, the current rating of the Washington Post on the stuff they fact-check is 41% of what they say they fact-checked is they actually have it right. Are you kidding me? Yeah, well, that's like a trusted... No, you can't trust the world. You can't... By the way, it's not a matter of left-leaning, right-leaning. It's a matter of if you're in the world and you seek your answers from the world, it's going to be rife with deceit. If you want truth, you got to go to God. Is that ringing, that point? Okay, well, I'm going to go to the second idea here, which is if when you turn to God, he's given us like a whole treasure chest of opportunities to know the truth. And all you have to do is just get the keys that he's put in your hands and unlock these items of truth. When the author of Hebrews begins to speak, of course, he's making this wonderful case for the supremacy of Jesus. But he begins with these words, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God spoke. A God who can't lie speaks. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him. He speaks. When he speaks to a prophet, we know some of those prophets have names, like Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Malachi, Zephaniah. What they heard him speak, they wrote down. You want to know a first profound resource for the truth? It's in your lap or it's in the little rail in the pew in front of you right now. It's the Word of God. It's all true all the time because it comes from one who cannot lie. It's not his character. It's not his nature. And so we have the Word of God. It goes on to say in Hebrews, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He speaks to us through his Son. So he speaks to us by his Word, he speaks to us by his Son, and he speaks to us by his Spirit. He speaks to us by his Son. You know what's really important here? Going back to the text we started with, it talks about the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Do you know why you know the Spirit of truth? It's because you know Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes when you come to faith in Jesus. So here's the deal. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't have access to the Spirit of truth. If you don't know Jesus, who is the truth, and you don't have access to the Spirit of truth, then the treasure chest of truth is not unlocked for you. So the very first step for anybody, if you want to get in touch with the truth, is you got to come to the truth of who Jesus is and what he did, and just the simple truth of the gospel. And you know the story. You know the message as I look around the room. You know what it is. You come to Jesus, now you're actually living in relationship with the one who is true, with the spirit of truth in you. So if I was kind of say, like, stepwise, what do you got to do? You got to come to Jesus in order to have access to the truth. And then after that, it has everything to do with how we relate to him. It's all about our relationship. If you will, it's managing the relationship, and our primary relationship is our everyday relationship with the Holy Spirit, the one who is in you. We talked before about how the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, we are told to be filled with the Spirit. And that's a commandment. It's like, you know, thou shalt be filled with the Spirit. And it is something that is in the ongoing tense. And so it's not like, you know, like I got filled with the Spirit back in 1992 when I got saved, so I'm good. No. The question is, am I filled with the Spirit like right here, right now? And am I going to be filled with the Spirit like later today? Actually, maybe not, because like the weather's good and the surf's good, and I don't have enough time to go surfing, so I will not have a Spirit-filled afternoon, because I'll be cranky. No, I'm kidding, okay? But we're commanded to do that, and it's passive. It's in the passive voice, okay? So to be commanded to do something that you got to do all the time, but it's actually something that happens to you. It's like I can't get out my Holy Spirit pump and go psst, 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 and fill myself with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to stick the needle in me and psst, fill me up, right? Like a balloon and an air compressor. That's what has to happen to me. And so it's all a matter of surrender. It's a matter of giving up that the Holy Spirit might fill me. Guess what happens if I give up and the Spirit of truth fills me up? Guess what I get full of? Truth? That's amazing, isn't it? The Spirit of truth is what fills me up. By the way, inside here, like, you know, in this little room, you may imagine like you're in a little room, you know, and you're like when you're thinking and stuff. You know, there I am, I'm like in my chair, I'm thinking, and I'm like talking to myself. Anybody here talk to yourself? Of course you do, right? So you're like talking to yourself, and of course now we know that you're like you're not alone, like the Holy Spirit's in there. Yeah, well, if there's deceit in the room, the only guy it's coming from is me, right? So if I shut up and let the Holy Spirit own it, then I'm going to be walking and living in the truth. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. I think of that of like squirting water on a fire. Our brother, Elder John here, next weekend, he will be making, if you haven't been before, go to the Buell's Open House and buy a half chicken. You'll have the best chicken. This is a subjective statement that may not be true, but I'm going to go for it. It's the truth. Best chicken on planet Earth, okay? Gets barbecued up there. It's the same chicken cookery and cookers that we, and recipe, and maybe even the same chickens, I'm not sure, that we take up to the men's retreat in the summer. It is the best chicken on Earth. But I've watched him do it, right? You know, he's got the coals going, he's got the chicken, and if the fat from the chicken goes down and it flames up, he's got the sacred squirt bottle, you know, psst, 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 right? In order to beat those flames down. Like, here's the deal in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit's a fire. The Holy Spirit is a flame in your life. Out of control fires scare the wits out of us, whether they're burning the chicken or burning the landscape in a brush fire. But the reality is, if you want truth in your life, if you want the power and the glory and the wonders of a life tight with Jesus, don't squirt the fire. Let the fire rage. And if it burns up you and your stupid ideas and your agenda and the deceit in the process, that's what glory's all about. He must increase, I must decrease. Let the fire burn. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you some steps here. You got to put your faith in Jesus. You got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. The next thing is, we just did it here a few minutes ago, which is in Ephesians 5:30, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm a dad. There's some dads out there. There's some moms out there. How do your kids grieve you? When they make those painful choices? When they do those things that are disobedient to you? When they do those things where they break relationship with their family or their friends? It's like, you know, when your very best friend betrays you, like, how does that go, right? That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. is anything that grieves the heart of God, because the Holy Spirit is God. And so what we're talking about is, you know, that icky Bible word that, you know, sin, the three-letter word. Is anything in your life that is an offense to God grieves the Holy Spirit? We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because what happens when we do that to anybody, like that best friend that you betrayed, what happens? This breach opens up in the relationship. You no longer share the intimacy you used to share. It's going, how could you do that to me? And it's like, well, you know, I'm feeling bad, so I don't want to be around you kind of thing, right? Where this distance grows and we're separated. If you want the power of the Spirit of truth in your life to lead you into truth, what we did earlier is just so simple, right? It's just a matter of, by the way, if you're living in sin and you're separated, guess what you just stepped into? You stepped into the domain of deceit, right? You know, you allowed yourself to be influenced by the domain of darkness. God's word says that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son whom he loves. So out of the darkness into the light. If I go back and fool around in the darkness, you're going to read about this in 1 John a whole lot. If you go fool around there, you're in the land of deceit. The minute you confess your sins, the minute you get honest, the deceit evaporates. And you come back into the light and back into the truth. So you got to believe in Jesus. You got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You got to get honest and right with God about your sin. Now we're talking as far as having access to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Two more here I'll offer to you. Jesus in John 8:31 said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, that means living in the commandments, the word he's given. Basically, it's a picture of obedience. Jesus also says in John 14, just a few verses after what we read, 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the 4th piece here, 4th key. It's just living a life of obedience. You live a life of obedience, you're living a life walking in the truth. And the last is just the idea that, I mean, if you're dealing with the Spirit of truth, I mean, you got the Word of God to, like, talk to you, right? And the Son of God, who is the truth, he saved you, you're related to him, you have this personal relationship with him. But, you know, every personal relationship is kept alive. The oxygen of the relationship is the conversation. And so prayer, you got to pray. I'm going to tell you that I had this Holy Spirit experience right here where I'm basically going, I really want to preach on what Peter said on the day of Pentecost about the Holy Spirit. But this whole thing about truth, you got to get that out of my mind. He said, no, that's Mike. Yeah, he gave me a little slap and said, no, we got this appetite for the truth. And it gets inflamed when we see the deceit in the world. We want to know the truth. Now here's a little disclaimer about this whole thing, which is, if you do these things, right, if you believe in Jesus and you surrender to the Holy Spirit and your sins are all confessed and you're walking in obedience and you get a great prayer life, is the Lord going to basically say, and the he said, she said, is the Lord basically going to say, he's lying? No. Deuteronomy 29:29, one of my favorite verses on this topic of trying to discern what the Lord's doing, says these words, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I want to tell you right now that the day that you're going to leave this life and go to glory, I'm going to guess that's a secret. You don't know, do you? You don't know what's going to happen later today. These are secret things that belong to God. How the Lord is going to work things out as far as politics and governance in the land that we live, those are secret things that he hasn't revealed to us. The truth we have is the truth that he revealed to us. And you know what? It is like so much better than like wringing our hands about what's going on, whether it be on, you know, on C-SPAN or what's going on in the drama in your neighborhood as a couple of neighbors aren't getting along. It is so much better to step into the promises of God. We may never know what happened 36 years ago involving a couple of teenagers. That's okay. You know what happened to me is when I opened up the Word of God and I start thinking about the fact that I have the truth, this trivial truth all of a sudden just it became of no real importance to me. I'm not bugged about it at all today. I have my opinions, which are based on my feelings, which aren't based on facts, which aren't based on the truth, because we don't know what the truth is. And so, park it. Step into the truth we have. The truth is that you are loved fiercely by the God of the universe. The truth is that he is perfect and just and holy and pure and never changes. The truth is that he sent his son Jesus because he loves you so much. And if you're a believer, you put your trust and faith in him and you are all set. The truth is that he is sovereign over everything that happens on this earth. He raises up nations for his purposes and he sweeps them into the dustbin of history. America is not God's chosen people. Did you know that? But if you're a believer, you're part of God's chosen people. So it says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. That's who you are. That's the reality to live in, not this nonsense coming from a world of deceit. Now, I'm probably not scratching your itch if you want to know the truth about politicians and the tales they tell. But the truth that we have is so much more precious. And he's given us full access to it by his Son who is the truth, by his Spirit who is the Spirit of truth, and by the fact that he loved us so much he brought us to himself. So I'll just leave with this question. It's like, interest in truth? Whom do you trust? I'm trusting the Lord God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the only one I'm going to trust, because that's the right place to put my trust. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for being a God who never lies, a God who always speaks truth. We thank you for giving us your Son who is truth and for filling us, allowing us to be dwelt within by the Spirit who is truth. Lord, you've given us abounding, extraordinary access to truth. Help us to turn to you and to allow ourselves to be filled with your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.